Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Can we give it up for the worship team? I got to tell you, I would love you guys to all be in my kitchen every Sunday morning when I get up out of bed. Can you imagine coming into the kitchen, having these guys dancing around and bringing the presence of God into the place? I love worship. How many of you love worship? How many of you know worship isn't actually for you, it's for God? Yeah. It's a good thought, isn't it? Sometimes it's like, I didn't get anything out of the worship. If you don't get anything out of the worship here, you're not here. You know what I'm saying? It is awesome. You guys are incredible. Why don't we give it up one more time for the worship team? And a big shout out to Hamilton as well. You guys are amazing. I did say to Pastor Sam, I said, can I please go to Hamilton? He said no. He said, no, I wanted to go. He said, no, and I'm a man under authority. Ask my wife. Praise God. So I am here today. We are here today. How many of you are here today? I'm here today. My brain is still coming. I don't know that I've got here yet, but I am. It is on its way from Melbourne. It'll be here soon. Hopefully by the end of the service, we'll be all in gear. You can take a seat this morning. It's certainly great to be with you. It is a great joy to be with all of you again. I say all of you again. I feel like the face of the church has changed. How many of you have heard me before? Give me a wave if you've heard me before. Give me a wave if you've never heard me before. Never. Okay, so there you go. So it's the same as the other night, basically 50-50 or thereabouts. And so also got to say, to know me is to love me. That's all I got to say. So I'm hoping that by the end of it, you'll either love me or hate me. But how many of you know at the end of the day, we're going to have a good time in the house of God. To Pastor Sam and Jess and the crew here, you guys are incredible. How many of you know that? All right. So I got to give you a heads up. We've got over 100 nationalities back home. It's in very similar to this, actually. You look around, demographics very similar, and they know how to make noise in the house of God, even in the early service. Is that okay? All right. So I'll give you the heads up. The louder you get, the shorter I'm going to preach. Yeah, now we got the noise coming, praise God. And so I want to encourage you. I know some of you don't know me. Some of you are like, can you speak a little bit slower so we can understand you? I get that, I understand that. So I'll slow down a little bit, try to get the Skippy the Bush Kangaroo just to slow down a little bit, and you'll be able to understand what I'm saying. But as we come in today, you know, I love the fact that I, as I come, I don't feel like a guest speaker here this morning at C3 Toronto. I really don't. I feel like part of the family, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to come and be part of the family. I'm not coming to impress. I'm not coming to bring the word, that word, you know, I just want to come in as a family member, as part of the family, and bring a word that I honestly believe is going to help along the way. I understand guest speakers, they don't move the ball too far, but if we can move the ball a little bit in the right direction in all of our lives, I'm believing that God is going to be able to do something with that today. I said to Pastor Sam yesterday as we're driving back to the hotel, I feel like I'm going to mix the word up. So I had to go home and do some work last night, and as a result, we're going to go without the trampoline today, if you know what I'm saying. We're just going to swing for the fences and see what God does, but I honestly believe God is going to do a whole lot. I do remember the days vividly in your backyard where we had about 10 leaders out the back there, and we're all sitting on those little children's stools and out there in the grass and on the dirt there, and to come back here on Wednesday night to All In and see this place packed was unbelievable. And it just goes to show that if you will live according to the word of God, if you'll put your faith in God and reach for God and live for God, that God can do amazing things. How many of you believe God can do amazing things? How many of you believe God wants to do something amazing in you? Through you. By way of you. I believe it. I love the fact that this other little Skippy the Bush Kangaroo came in from Australia. And look what you and God are doing together. It is absolutely amazing. C3 Toronto. I don't know whether you understand, because sometimes when you're in the midst of a miracle, you don't actually understand what's going on. But I promise you this, all the way down under in Australia, we are talking about C3 Toronto and what God is doing in this city through you. So can I encourage you, lean in and get ready for all that God has got for us. As I read scripture, I can clearly see that as I journey through the pages, that in Christ we are meant to go from strength to strength and glory to glory. How many of you believe that today? Everyone say strength to strength. Say glory to glory. In Hamilton, strength to strength. Yes, I heard them. Glory to glory. Praise God. We can hear them all the way from Hamilton. That's awesome. All right, now, we can all see that the promises of God, because that's really, we're going to lean into some promise today. How many of you have got some promises you are believing for? Anyone got promises you're believing for? I want to encourage you, get some promises. Hang on to them in God. We can all see that the promises of God are not only for individuals and not just for a single generation, but they are for families and they are for the generations following, that we all might play our part, that we all might run our race and in the fullness of time pass on a greater spiritual inheritance than the one that we have received. So as I come out today, I simply want to encourage you to lift up your eyes. Everyone say, lift up your eyes. I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, because if you will, I honestly believe that you're going to see the glory of the Lord in the most amazing and in the most miraculous of ways. In Genesis 18, reading from verse 18, it says, "For Abraham will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord and do what is right and just. Then I will do for him all that I have promised." Regarding the promises of God, aren't we all glad that the one who makes a promise is faithful and true? Anybody glad about that? I'm so glad that he's not able to make the promise, but he's also able to fulfill the promise. God is faithful and true to his word, which means for all of us that are in Christ Jesus, and I'm assuming that would be most of us in the room today, that if we are in him and his word is in us, then his word is surely going to come to pass. Personally, if I was thinking about Abraham, which I obviously am here, if I was God, which obviously I'm not, I'm Australian, I'm not God, but if I was God, I would not have singled out Abraham. No way, not in a million years. I wouldn't have chosen this guy to make this promise to or bless the whole world through. And you might say, well, why wouldn't you choose Abraham? What's wrong with Abraham? I wouldn't have chosen Abraham because Abram and Sarah were barren. How many of you know it's not a good start? It's not a good start. God is saying, I want to bless the whole world through a man and a woman. I want to bless the whole world through a man. And so who am I going to choose? The one that can't have children, but yet it's going to come through his children. It's like, are you just trying to make it hard or what? How many of you have worked out at times God, he's got a way of doing things that isn't necessarily our ways. He's got his thoughts that are not necessarily our thoughts. But if we can align ourselves with God, if we can get this thing worked out, that God is different to us. If it was me, I would have been looking for that couple that are like a tribe of children, you know what I'm saying? Every time they look at each other, they get pregnant. I would have chosen that guy and girl. It's like, you know, the truck driver comes home once every 6 months, and all 9 months, 12 months, whatever. And all of a sudden, there's a new baby on board. And it's like, I would have chosen that couple, but not the couple that couldn't have children. Why does God do this? You know why God does this? Because he doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. He's not going to share his glory with anybody. Friends, I've got to tell you, God wants to do things in you. God wants to do things in this church, through this church, that he will get the glory for. He doesn't want to do the normal. You are not normal. Turn to the person beside you and say, you are not normal. You are not normal. God doesn't want to do normal through you. God wants to do extraordinary through you, abnormal through you. And so he chooses people just like us that he might reveal his glory to the world. In Genesis 18 from verse 9 it says, "Where is Sarah your wife?" they asked. "In the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "About this time next year I will return and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent nearby. How many of you know she's got big ears, this girl? Praise the Lord. How many of you love big ears? A bit of eavesdropping going on here. She's just listening in. And since Abraham and Sarah were both very old, a little bit on the wrinkly side, and Sarah was long past the age of having children, she laughed silently to herself. How did she laugh? She laughed silently to herself. It's like she was in the moment, laughed silently. How could a worn out woman like me have a baby, she thought. She didn't say it. She's not speaking. She's in the tent, and she's sort of minding her own business, but not really. And then, and when my master, my husband, is also so old, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why? How many of you know God sees and hears it all? I love this. Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? About a year from now, just as I told you, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied that she had laughed. But he said, that is not true. You did laugh. I don't know about you. I like that. God's just like, put my finger right on this. It's like, how many of you know he knows where we're at? Why deny it? Yeah, we struggle when we hear the promises of God. We struggle. You struggle. I struggle. It's like, could God really? Don't you know, Lord? This is impossible. Why would you choose me? Why wouldn't you choose them? It's too hard, but God says it's not too hard. It's impossible, but God says it's not impossible. It's not. Now, just so we're clear, I am not saying that as I come and bring this word today, Pastor Jess is not here. I'm not saying that she's going to have another child. All right, just so we're clear, we're very clear. Amen, all right. All right. The credit card's maxed out. No more children, I get it, that's right. But I am saying that times of pregnancy in the spirit are coming to this couple. That's what I'm saying. I'm here to say it over them, and I'm here for you to listen to that. And I'm here not only to say it over them today, but in fact, I'm here to speak new dreams. I'm here to prophesy new promises and declare new beginnings over you all in Jesus' name. Now, I say over you all because how many of you know what's on them is going to come upon you? That's why it's so important that you be planted in the house. So many people these days in Christian world, Christian circles, we want to do pot plant church. You know, I'm not talking about pot, I'm talking about pot plants. You know what I'm saying? Just want to translate right. Where we come in and out of church in our pot plant, but we never get rooted in the house. We never get grounded in the house because it's easier. We keep the pot plant, we stay in the pot plant, we want to keep to ourselves. We come in, we go out as we please. But how many of you know, you will never achieve what God has got for you as long as you're living like that. God wants to put you in a house, put you in a family, put covering over you that you might grow, then what is on them might come upon you. What is on this house might come upon your house. If you believe it, you can give God praise. Amen. Because I reckon right now, I'm probably preaching a little bit better than you're responding. Hallelujah. You're like I said, you love me or you hate me, but how many of you know we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord? Friends, I want to encourage you today that God wants to do a new thing in you. God wants to do a new thing in you. If you could perceive it, if you could see it. Sarah couldn't see it. She was unable to receive it. She's laughing to herself. How could this possibly happen? But I say to you today, God wants to do a new thing in you. Now, you're aware that we're all aware that a number of things are going to be required for what God was speaking to Abraham to come to pass. All right, let's jump straight back into Scripture. One of the things I'm aware of these days is there's a lot of people coming into church, a lot of people reconnecting with church, coming into Christ, coming into the kingdom. Therefore, when I get up, sometimes I speak about Bible references and passages and stories, thinking that everybody knows. But I'm discovering more and more that not everybody knows. So we're going to spend just a little bit of time laying down the foundation of the passage so that we're all on the same page here. It says here, Genesis chapter 22, reading from verse 1. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. I really like this. Don't like this. I really like this. Don't like this. How many of you know your faith and your obedience will be tested? You know what I loved? I love when Pastor Sam was up here before, and he was just when he was talking about taking up the tithe and offering, and he was talking as a father would speak to his children. That's what we just read about Abraham teaching the families, teaching his sons and his families. It's like, I like it because what he's doing is teaching in such a way that as you go and you grow, you might put God to the test, and you might be like, put God to the test. How many of you know in tithe and offering, that's the only place you're going to see God say, put me to the test. He says, put me to the test. You're going to be able to put God to the test, but how many of you know he's also going to put you to the test? And he's going to put you to the test over and over, probably for the rest of your life. It's going to keep coming around. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. All right, so Abraham and Sarah have now had the son. the golden child, as he was. It was like, he's the boy, he's the little man, he's from where the promise is going to be fulfilled. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will point out to you. The next morning, Abraham got up early, he saddled his donkey and took his two servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood to build a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place where God had told him to go. On the third day of the journey, Abraham saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the young men. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there and then we will come right back." How many of you have heard what he just said then? Did you hear what he said? "We will worship and then we will come right back." How many of you know he's actually planning to sacrifice his son, but he understands even if he sacrifices his son, God is well able to raise him up again. He's got faith that God is able to fulfill his promise, even though at the moment I'm getting asked to do something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went on together, Isaac said, "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the wood and the fire," said the boy, "but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" "God will provide a lamb, my son," Abraham answered, and they both went on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told Abraham to go, he built an altar and placed the wood on it. Then he tied Isaac up and laid him on the altar over the wood. I'm sure Isaac's thinking at this time, this probably wasn't what I had in mind. And Abraham took the knife and lifted it up to kill his son as a sacrifice to the Lord. At that moment, the angel of the Lord shouted to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," he answered, "I'm listening." "Lay down the knife," the angel said. "Do not hurt the boy in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld your beloved son from me." Then Abram looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a bush. So he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering on the altar in place of his son. Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." The Lord will provide. This name has now become a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. All right, some of you need to hear this. Just hear this sentence today. "Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son." How many of you got some things that maybe, don't raise your hand, but maybe God is reaching for at the moment? How many of you got some things in your life that are really near and dear and important to you? How many of you have got a dream, you've got a vision, and you know this is very much a part of your future, but maybe God is actually beginning to reach for that? But friends, I want to encourage you today with this sentence here, because you have obeyed me and not withheld even your beloved son, I swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into the countless millions like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Then they returned to Abraham's young men and traveled home again to Beersheba, where Abraham lived for quite some time. So life went on. And as we know, in the fullness of time, God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled. But for the promise to be fulfilled, there's going to be two things that I want to focus in on today that were needed. Now, there was more, obviously, but we're going to look at just two things that were needed for this promise to be fulfilled. All right, as we step in, I'm just going to put it out there, just sons and provision. Sons and provision. Now, as we talk sons, girls, can I encourage you? I'm not talking gender, and neither am I talking age. It's a spiritual reality I'm talking about here. But I want to talk about sons and provision. Pastors Sam and Jess, I want to encourage you today to lift up your eyes, because I honestly believe God is about to multiply your sons and your provision so that you will have all that you need to fulfill what God has promised and what God will promise. As I was pondering the last couple of days, I couldn't help but remember, I was in here on Wednesday night looking around and just seeing all that I was seeing. I've asked today for a raise of hands, and half of you are new to the house. And I was thinking back when we were 10 or 11 years in. When we were 10 or 11 years in, we stepped into a new building at Enjoy Church, and we grew by about 1,000 in that year. As I look around Enjoy Church now, all over Enjoy Church, we have sons and daughters that came in right at that period of time that are now leading Enjoy all over the place. We have sons and daughters that were there from the very beginning. But there is no doubt about it, that time was crucial to what God is doing now. I think sometimes when we're in the moment, but we don't understand we're a chapter, we are a page of what God has already got planned out. He knows the end from the beginning. We only know the beginning and the now. We don't know what the end is. But I promise you, I believe with all my heart, there are men and women that are coming into this church even today. There are men and women that are coming into this church in this year, in this season, that God is going to raise up in the house to be mighty in the hand of God, to do great things for the Lord, to be sons and daughters in the house that are going to help propel everything that God has promised into reality. So friends, can I encourage you today, get ready. When Abraham led Isaac up the mountain, Isaac was as good as dead. It's really interesting, isn't it? In Abraham's heart, he's like, I'm going to lay the boy down, but even if I lay him down, God will raise him back up. How many of you believe in the Word of God to the point where it doesn't matter what's happening, it doesn't matter what we're going through, God is well able to fulfill that which He has said? Friends, I want to encourage you, Isaac was as good as dead, but the Lord gave him back to Abraham, for the Lord knew that it would only be through Abraham's sons that the promise would be fulfilled. You know, I say these are interesting days in the church, but I believe there are men and women in this church today. Some of you have been here for a long time. Maybe you've been here for the whole 11 years. Maybe you've been here for 11 minutes, came in on the third song today. I don't know. But I want to encourage you, if you're a son or daughter of the house, and how many of you know you get to choose to be a son or daughter of the house? That's what I love about this whole deal. Sometimes in our world at Enjoy Church, people look to me like it's, No, it doesn't work like that. As in, I choose to be a father. My sons and daughters choose to be sons and daughters. I choose to be a spiritual dad. They choose to do what they do. Friends, if you want to be part of the house and be part of the future, then the choice is yours. You can actually decide today to step in and be part of the future. Like I said, this is not a gender issue. This is not an age issue. Many of my sons and daughters are actually older than me, which I find quite bizarre. But they have no problem with the fact and saying they are better educated, they're older, and they're better looking. Yes, it's true. Some of them are actually better looking. But you know what? They are not slow in coming forward in saying we are planted in the house. You and Pastor George are our spiritual parents, and we want you to lead us into all that God has got for us. So it's very important we understand. Here we have. We have Abram. He's leading the way. We have Isaac. He's following along behind. Friends, can I encourage you? We all need to have someone in our life that is before us carrying the knife and the fire. What does the knife and the fire represent? It represents the Word and the Spirit. We need this. For you to fulfill what God has got for your life, you need a spiritual mum and dad that are walking ahead of you with the Word and the Spirit, the knife and the fire. Sometimes, because we all look, we all examine, we all watch, but it's harder to carry the wood than it is the knife than the fire. But friends, I would say, as Abraham led his son up that mountain, how many of you know the burden of responsibility was greater at the front of the train than it was at the back? Because it was different, called to do different things. As spiritual parents, we're called to do things. As a spiritual son, I'm called to do something else. That's a great thing. As spiritual parents, we are the best spiritual parents are also spiritual sons. That's just the way it works. And daughters, that's the way it works. So those that carry within them the same spiritual DNA. When we're talking about spiritual sons and daughters, we're talking about those who carry the same spiritual DNA and desire for the promises that God has made over this house to come to pass. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, children are an inheritance, praise God, from the Lord. How many of you have got kids? How many of you love your kids? How many of you are going to talk to me? It's like, I don't know about, I got two daughters, praise God, and I got a Japanese son of choice. By the time we get back to Melbourne, and I've got two little granddaughters. I shouldn't even think about it. I'm going to start crying. Why am I going to start crying? Because by the time I get back to Melbourne, they're all moving to Japan. They're all moving to Japan. How many of you know I'm going to be eating lots of sushi in the days to come? Praise God. I'll be on that plane visiting whenever I can. But children are an inheritance from the Lord. It's absolutely, I love this verse because I know the reality of it. And now I've got grandchildren. How many of you know the reason they're called grand is because they're better and bigger and better? You know what I'm saying? It's like I say to my kids all the time, if I hadn't known grandchildren were going to be this much fun, I wouldn't have had you to begin with. I would have gone straight to the grandchildren. Would have been so much more fun. But that's not the way it works. Like God is, anyway. But I love this verse. And yes, we know that children are an inheritance from the Lord. But how many of us realize that typically inheritance come to son and daughters through our parents? How many of us worked that out? As a spiritual father, I've got to tell you the blessing that I have in leading the Enjoy Church and the sons and daughters in that world for me, it is unbelievable. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And there is great blessing as a result. It's my inheritance. But you know what I'm seeing now? The sons and daughters, as they rise up all over, not just Victoria, but Australia and now into other parts of the world, you know what they're receiving now? Their inheritance for being a son and daughter. This is a two-way fold. This is a two-way street. As in, friends, I want to encourage you, speaking as someone who was young once upon a time, many years ago, one of the greatest things I did right from the very start was realize my future wasn't actually out there. My future was in here. I live out there, but my future comes from in here. My future comes from being planted in the house of God. My future comes from coming under a spiritual mother and father. My future comes, my inheritance comes, as it were, because I am an inheritance to somebody else. And because I'm an inheritance that way, the inheritance then comes this way. It's not actually theirs to give, it comes from the Lord. And it's not actually mine to give, it comes from the Lord. It's from the Lord. And when we're all walking together as a family, how many of you know the goodness of God, the promise of God, the blessing of God is going to be poured out upon us all? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for C3. I got to tell you, I've watched you and I celebrate you. I celebrate your pastors. I celebrate you all. There are so many sons and daughters in the house, but I honestly believe today that as we come to this place that, you know, there's sons and daughters in the natural, as in watching your children grow up. It's the sweetest thing. It's just absolutely beautiful to just watch them grow. As in, obviously, they were born in C3 Toronto. They've been born into this place, and we're all watching them grow up from just little kids. They start to grow, but I've watched C3 Toronto enough to realize that the reality is there are sons and daughters all over this room. There are sons and daughters in Hamilton. There are sons and daughters in Midtown. There are sons and daughters in the faith all over the place. But friends, I believe that I'm not just here to encourage those that have been here for 11 years, but I want to reach for maybe the man or the woman, the family, that have only been here for 11 minutes. Because I believe that in this moment, in this season, in this year, that God is going to bring many of you into this place. And I don't know, I always find it interesting how people arrive at church. Sometimes they are very deliberately invited or brought to the house of God. Sometimes they just wander in. Sometimes it's always really interesting how people arrive. But what isn't most important is how you arrived. It's have you arrived? Have you worked out why you are here today? Have you worked out why you are in this room? Have you worked out why I'm here to speak this message? Maybe it's just for one of you or two of you or 79 of you. I'm not too sure who it's for exactly, but I believe if you can get the spirit of it and understand it, you will always be better when you are connected to the body of Christ. You'll always be better when you come under the authority of the people that God would put over your life. You'll always be better and be closer to fulfilling and reaching for the promises of God when you do it God's way. And I understand that messages like this in some parts of the world, they're not real popular today. I get it and I understand it. We want to be able to breeze in and breeze out. And you can do that if that's what you want. But I'm not here to encourage you to do that. I'm here to encourage you to be planted in the house. Look for a spiritual mum and dad. Come under covering. Do what's God's way. Understand that there is promises over this house. Understand there are promises over this man and woman. Understand there are promises over the sons and daughters of the house. Understand that God has got so much more. And if we would rise up in faith and begin to go for God, go for God, go for God. How many of you know if you're going for God, you've got to get some things out the way? If you're going to go to that mountain and sacrifice like God would have a sacrifice, how many of you know we're going to have to push some things out of the way? Maybe push some thinking out of the way. Maybe push some people out of the way. So I'm not too sure how it is that you've come in today. But one thing I know within the church at large, there are many orphans even in the family, if you know what I'm saying. They've still got an orphan spirit. They come in and they won't connect. They choose not to connect. But I want to encourage you today, get connected, get connected, get connected. And added to the sons and daughters, the other thing that is required for the promises of God to be fulfilled and realized in any house is it's provision. Provision. So we have sons and daughters, or sons, and provision is what's required to see the vision fulfilled. Churches, when the sons and daughters of the house are prepared to carry the burden of sacrifice, it's then that we will see God provide provision in the most beautiful and miraculous of ways. You know, to be here in this building, I don't know about you, I just want to jump down there and slap myself silly, if you know what I'm saying. As in, how many of you love this building? How many of you want to go back to set up, pack up? Not today, not today. It may come in the future, but not today. We're loving this. I don't know about you. I walked in, it was freezing. It snowed. Can you believe it? At all. And I said, I would love to see snow. On the way home, it was snowing. I'm like, I love Toronto. Praise God. We don't have snow in Melbourne, but we had it on the way home on Wednesday night. But you know what? I see provision. I see the miraculous of God. I know how this came about. I heard the story how it came about. It's incredible. Midtown and what God is doing down there, it's incredible. And obviously we're believing for all the spaces and places, everything that God is wanting to do. But carrying the burden of sacrifice can come in a number of ways. It can be service. As so sons and daughters, if you're a son and daughter of the house, where can I serve? As in all of our sons and daughters at home, they all serve. That's what is part of what makes them a son or daughter. Maybe it's carrying weight. I'm just going to carry the burden, carry the weight. Maybe it's financially, maybe it's prayerfully, maybe it's in leadership. It could be in any number of ways, but can I encourage you to lean in and begin to carry the burden of sacrifice? In Genesis 22, as the worship team come, Genesis 22, verse 13, it says here, then Abram looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a bush. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering on the altar in place of his son. Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. This name has now become a proverb on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. I'm sure we would all love God's provision to be seen and realized at base camp. Base camp. Let's not have to go to the top of the mountain. Let's not have to work through the stress and the pressure and the realities of life as we bring our sacrifice to the Lord. But typically, this isn't how God works. Typically, God is going to ask us to go to the top of the mountain. Typically, God's going to get us to either carry the knife and the fire or the sacrifice. He's going to get us to carry something. Something. And when we commit to carrying something, all of a sudden heaven begins to move. Heaven begins to move. I've watched it with my own eyes. I probably realize as I stand here today, I've probably been on this journey with C3 Toronto probably longer than most of you. That's a reality. I didn't think about that until just right now. Like I say, I remember when we would sit in that backyard with 10 people on little stools and trying not to sink into the dirt and I remember like it was yesterday. It feels like yesterday. And I look around and I see all that the Lord has done. But I got to tell you, I don't believe for a minute that this is it. I believe it's all the Lord has done until now. It's like when Abram walked back down the mountain with Isaac. That's what the Lord had done until then. But now throughout the whole world, God's promise is being fulfilled. I wonder about the sons and daughters of this house. I wonder about the sons and daughters. What would we give to see the promises that God has made over Sam and Jess and all of you? What would we give to see that become a reality? Like I say, it would be easier if it was all fulfilled at base camp. That's not how it works. But it's when spiritual leaders, spiritual parents, climb in obedience to God's voice, spiritual sons and daughters carry the burden of the vision, that the Lord brings about and releases provision for the vision in ways that we would never have dreamt possible. We have seen in our world the goodness of God at Enjoy Church. We have seen ridiculous. We've seen, I don't know how many buildings now given to us over many years. And we're seeing God do things that it's just, to be honest, I laugh. If I was looking for someone to bless the whole world through, I wouldn't have chosen Shane and Georgie. Wouldn't have chosen us. No, 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 no. If I was looking for someone to bless Toronto through, I don't know that I would have chosen Sam and Jess. As in, it doesn't make any sense to bring a couple little skippies from down under up here. Why would God do that way? Why wouldn't he have chosen someone who lived in Yorkville or wherever? Why does God do what God does? I don't know the answers to that. Like I said, I'm not God. But I do know he still works the same way as he always has. And he's still looking to bring about the miraculous and the vision and the promises through the sons and the daughters of the house. Like I said, maybe you've walked in today and this is all brand new to you. Maybe now would be the great time to shoot back to Hamilton and just say, God bless you guys. Going to hand it back to your location pastors right about now. But for everybody else that's in the room, I want to pray for two groups of people really quickly. The first group of people I want to pray for is the people that have walked in today and you don't know where you're at with God. Friends, can I encourage you? Please don't leave today without knowing where you're at with God. The greatest thing any man, any woman can ever do is give your life to Christ. As in, I grew up in church, but I wasn't of the church. Wasted so many years. Wasted years, just kept turning up the church, turning up, but I wasn't of the church. I was in church, but not of it. I was like that little orphan kid I was referring to, walked in. I was here, but not here. I was here, but not connected. Then at the age of 22, end up in hospital with alcoholic poisoning, and had an encounter with God. One encounter with God changed my forever. One encounter with God changed everything. I got rolled into hospital, unconscious, came out a Jesus freak. Everyone's like, what the heck happened to you? I'm like, I met the Lord. They're like, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe the change, the transformation. But one encounter with God will do that. So I want to pray for everybody in this room that needs to come into relationship with God. I also want to pray for men and women. You're here, but it's like, it's time now for me to become a son and daughter of the house and really lean in, begin to carry the burden of sacrifice, that together we might step into all the spaces of the world that God would take us to, that we might see the goodness and the glory of God in ways that are beyond our wildest dreams, that the whole world might be blessed through what God is doing here. So I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed, from the front to the back, from our right to the left. I don't know how it is that you've come into church this morning. I don't know whether you wandered in. I don't know whether you got dragged in. I don't know whether you were invited. I don't know whether a friend brought you today. But friends, can I encourage you today? If you are here, there is a reason that you are here. If you are here today, I want to give you the invitation to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, to make him your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and, well, if you're to be honest, you walked with God once upon a time. But if you're to be honest today, you've drifted away. I certainly understand how drift happens. Drift can happen to us all. We just get distracted. We wander off. We wander away. If that's you today, can I encourage you, come home today. Come home today. Don't leave this place today wondering about your relationship with God, but know that you're in right standing with God. So from the front to the back, from my right to the left, all over this room, if you're here today and you're saying, Shane, today's the day. I need to. I want to come into relationship with Jesus Christ today. I want to ask Him to be my Lord. I want to ask Him to be my Savior. I want Him to forgive me of all the wrong that I've done. And I want Him to set me up for a life that is in Him as His son, as His daughter. I want to know before I leave this place that I'm a child of God. If that is you, from the front to the back, from my right to the left, all over the room, if that is you, you're saying, Shane, that's me today. I want to give my life today. I want to give my life to Christ today. It may be the first time. It may be a rededication. Maybe you're just saying, Lord, I'm sorry I've drifted away. Today's the day I want to come home. I want to know that we are good before I leave this place. If that is you, either or, for the first time or a rededication, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. When you raise your hand, can I encourage you? Raise it all the way up. When I see it go all the way up, I'll simply point at you and say, God bless you. The moment I say, God bless you, the Spirit of the living God is going to come upon you. A new life is about to begin. So from the front to the back, from my right to the left, all over this room, you want to give your life to Christ, rededicate your life to Christ. On the count of three, won't you raise that hand? Here we go now. One, two, three. Right now, wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. Good job. God bless you. 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 Come on, let's give it up for all these people raising their hands. Come on. Who else today is saying, Shane, that's me? Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I'd hate to miss out on anyone. Praise God. For all of you that raise your hands, can I encourage you, just pray this prayer. Follow me along with this prayer. The reason I say follow along with me in the prayer is simply because a lot of people are coming to church first time. They're not too sure how to pray and ask Jesus into their heart. So I'm just going to ask you to follow along. But if you're in the room also and you're a believer, why don't you pray this nice and loud so that everyone feels at home today? Let's pray together, church. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Jesus, I ask you, forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing and honoring of you. Today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. And I believe from this day on, you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. And from this day on, I'm your child, and I'll never be alone again. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's give it up for everyone who raised their hands. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone that raised their hands. I'm sure Pastor Sam in a moment will tell you what happens next. As in, obviously, there's always next steps, isn't there? It's like, okay, this is good. What do we do now? So Pastor Sam will help you there. But I also want to pray today for every man and woman that's in the house. And it's like, today is a realization. It's like, yeah, God does want to do something amazing in this church. God does want to do something amazing through our pastors. God wants to do something amazing through me. That's you. God wants to do something amazing through you. There's a promise over the house. There's a promise over the couple. There's a promise over every son and daughter that is planted in the house of God, who is prepared to carry the burden of sacrifice, that together we might climb the mountain of the Lord and see the goodness of God. Once again, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. But if you're like, I'm in, I want to be a son, I want to be a daughter, I want to be a person who's going to play my part in carrying the burden of sacrifice, that together we might ascend the mountain of the Lord and then go out into the world and see it changed in Jesus' name. If that is you, just raise both hands towards heaven right now. Just raise both hands towards heaven. I want to pray for all of you. I want to pray blessing, 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 blessing. Father, I pray blessing over these men and these women today. I pray, Almighty God, that we would ascend the mountain of the Lord together. I pray, Lord God, for the promises that have already been spoken. May they become our reality in Jesus' name. But Lord, I pray beyond, Lord, the promises that have already been spoken. And we declare, Lord God, more promises to come. We declare more dreams to come. We declare, Lord God, fresh words to come. We declare, Lord God, new beginnings to come in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak, Lord God. Lord, I believe, Lord God, Lord, that you will use this church, Lord God, to bless the nations of the world. So, Lord, I pray for every man and woman that you're calling to climb the mountain with their pastors. Lord, I pray, Lord God, Lord, for courage. I pray for strength, and I pray for the faith for the journey that's ahead. Lord, I speak blessing over them now and always. Bless them now. Bless them as they go. Bless them as they do in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.